The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'uzu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Please repeat after me. As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu
wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya
Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO, the magnificent messengers and the perfect prophets. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we started our journey of season 2 YOLO in a beautiful way, talking about the greatest and best of the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, the magnificent prophets. And we dealt with Hazrat Hud alayhi salam and Hazrat Salih alayhi salam's qawm, and what we were talking about was how when Allah Azza wa Jal blessed these people with the luxuries of life, when they became affluent, when they became well off, what did they do? They started to worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. They became ungrateful. They started to prostrate before idols and they ignored the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal, being the most merciful, the most compassionate, gave them chances by sending these magnificent messengers to guide them, to bring them back from the path of destruction, to give them the keys to Jannah. Some were fortunate enough to accept, but the majority were lost in their ignorance. And before we give you a quick recap of what we discussed last week, and the Qawm-e Thamud, and how Hazrat Salih alayhi salam tried to convince them, let me introduce my two resident guests. I say resident because Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've had the honor and the pleasure of their company throughout YOLO Series 1, and most of YOLO Series 2. First of all, our beloved Shiraz Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, fresh off your trip to the blessed lands of Turkey. MashaAllah. And you managed to do lots of ziyarat there. There are many companions of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resting there as well. You got the opportunity to visit? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And no doubt you went to the great Darbari Mubarak of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. And what a blessed place that is.
One upon arrival, one upon...
SubhanAllah. Just before your departure, very blessed place, SubhanAllah. Sultan, they call him there.
Sultan Ayyub.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Beautiful journey. May Allah Azza wa Jalla take us all for ziyarats of those blessed places. You know, when you go to the shrine of a wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you can feel the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla descending. You can feel that spirituality. Can you imagine the spirituality you feel at the Darbari Mubarak of a companion of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's just an amazing feeling you get there. MashaAllah. And with us also is our beloved Bisharat Bhai. Bisharat Bhai is, I like to call a warrior because every day, every program, he travels from Preston, MashaAllah, and he gives us time. And as well as his other Madni duties and his full-time job, MashaAllah, he just keeps going. So, MashaAllah, he's our warrior. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shahad bhai, everything okay?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So viewers of Madni Channel, where we left it last time was that Shiraz Bhai was telling us that Qawm-e Thamud started to ignore the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Hazrat Salih alayhi salam tried to guide them back to the right path. And they came out with a bizarre request, a very strange request for a very unique miracle. They said that if you are really the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, take out a pregnant she-camel from this mountain. And it may sound bizarre, why did they say that? They were just trying to mock, na'uzu billah, the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they came out with the most bizarre thing that they could think of. And yet, look at the power that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to his beloved prophets. Hazrat Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam raised his hands in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the mountain tears open and out comes a she-camel. They were then put to a test. There was a reservoir and the she-camel would drink one day and give milk the next day. They could only drink one day. And those leaders who were corrupt decided to murder the she-camel. This was the she-camel of Allah, Naqatullah. This was the she-camel of Allah Azza wa Jal. And yet, They murdered it, slaughtered it. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla's punishment was heading towards them. And I think, Shazmi, that's where we left it, that they had committed this heinous crime. Hazrat Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam kept saying to them, don't do this, this is bad. But there was some badbakht, there was some unfortunate people, who despicable people, who went ahead and did this.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with the companions once, in the place called Hijr, where this waqiyah took place. And he said to his companions, never ask a prophet or Allah hence for a miracle. Because you will not be able to upstand the trials that comes with it.
Allahu Akbar.
Because you're demanding a proof of something that's already proof.
Established.
Yeah. And so these people, they asked for proof, a mu'jiza. And a Nabi, when you demand a mu'jiza, there's conditions as well for that miracle. So prior to establishing this miracle, he said, you must respect this camel, and whatever comes with it, you must respect. And you have to keep, you know, upstand with the rights that this camel will have. So their main condition was that one day or the tribe or the people will utilize that water, and then one day this camel will utilize the water. And this is the trial that they could not, you know, keep up to. They could not fulfill.
And it was a big camel. It wasn't a small camel.
This camel will drink enough water that the entire city can drink. This camel will drink it in one day.
So, and that again was a test from Allah.
Big test, because they depended upon this water, upon this reservoir. So they depended on this, and when they realized that this camel is utilizing our main resource, they could not, you know, keep, and they could not bear watching this. So they asked for something, like you mentioned, that was very unusual, a very unusual miracle they asked for. You know, the plan went against them, so they asked for a crazy miracle. They were kind of mocking. They mocked the Prophet by asking Prophet alayhi wasalam, they can't perform miracles. This miracle happened, and now the trials and the tribulations that came with this.
Oh, the conditions.
The word fitna. Right? Mm-hmm. This is something that we should understand. The word fitna, it actually means test. It is not a negative word in its real meaning. It actually means test. So the test. Yeah. So when fitna comes, when you say fitna to dajjal, when the word fitna is used, it actually means a test, a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and then it's used in, you know, we commonly use it, you know, the fitnas of today, for example. It means test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever passes them, he reaches high levels and ranks. So this was a fitna for them, i.e. a test, which they could not live up to. When they seen that, okay, we tried to mock the Prophet fulfilled the miracle. Okay, and now the conditions that have come with this is basically backfiring upon us, because they had, now that their main resource of water now is shared, there is the shariq within that resource. They could not handle this because
this was just arrogance, though, wasn't it? Because it wasn't as if they had to starve for one day. The she camel gave milk as well, so
they utilized the milk,
and so they could store water. They just couldn't drink. But it wasn't the fact that they didn't have the water. It was the arrogance of saying, "How can you stop us from drinking from this reservoir for one day when the she camel is drinking? You know, we can't allow that." But it wasn't, you know, as I understand what Mufti Sahib was saying, was that it wasn't the fact that they didn't have the resource. So it wasn't like one day they had to go thirsty. They didn't have to go thirsty. It was just the pure arrogance of, how can we have this condition? And so gradually they were able to cope with it fine. It was just the pride that was getting the better of them.
No, but the depths of it is because they tried to mock the Prophet. They asked for such a miracle, and then it happened. And then the condition of that miracle was that You have to share the water.
And it wasn't just that as well, because they were stuck in their ways in idol worshipping.
Yeah.
So when you talk about arrogance, it was all the other things part and parcel of it as well. So they realize that it's not just this, that we have to change all the other things, because alhamdulillah, through this miracle of Allah Azza wa Jal, the truth is now in front of us.
On top of that, it stopped raining.
Yeah.
It stopped raining at that period of time, because they, you know, whenever someone performs shirk, the children, mothers will not be able to bear a child. It will stop raining. There'll be droughts. There'll be earthquakes. So then they were even in more stress. This camel is, and the amount of water this camel got.
But I think Shahzad's point is a very brilliant one, because what had happened is they'd asked for this miracle because they wanted to stick with their ways. Now that the miracle had come, in essence, what they said is, you do this and we will believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. So now that this had happened and it was there in front of them, it was not about the water. It was about, well, now if we have to obey Allah, we lose our way. So that's a very subtle but good point. Yeah. In that, mashallah, it was the fact that they didn't want to let go of their ways. They didn't want to let go of their idols. They didn't want to go of their deceit, their frauds, their luxuries of life, and their sins, basically. So they slaughtered the she camel of Allah, not because of, perhaps, the water was just a reason, an excuse, but it was really behind it. It was their inner desires, which they thought, we're going to have to fulfill. And this is why they say it's easy to prostrate to an idol, because there's no rules. The idol ain't going to tell you, you got to do this and do that. And this is where sometimes, we say that when you have a piro murshid, look for a kamil piro murshid. You don't want one who says, put a tenner there and do what you want, I'll pray for you. Tu ijanti, mem ijanti. Look for a proper piro murshid. And you get the real walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, who say, look, we don't want your money, you go donate it to your local masjid, but I want you to pray 5 times a day. I want you to read the Quran every day. I want you to adopt the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want you to travel in the Madni Kafas. I want you to go to an ijtima and do zikr on Thursday nights. And because it comes with conditions, we'd rather go than go to a piece of, give a nazrana, get dua done, get a taweez, put it around our neck, no namaz, nothing. It's easier. That's why people follow it.
And even, like Sayyid, like the Prophet, he didn't accept zakat. This point that you've made, he didn't accept zakat. And anyone from his lineage, they don't accept zakat, they're not allowed to, because the Prophet didn't. So this finance, this point of going through the messenger, giving him money and getting your sins, removed, this concept doesn't exist. You have to perform tawbah. You have to perform. The ayat says that if any of them, perform zulm upon himself,
izzalamu
anfusahum ja'uka, and they come to your court.
Yes.
And then they do tawbah in your presence.
In the court of Allah.
But whilst they're in front of you, فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and then the Rasul does tawbah for them as well.
Ask for forgiveness.
Istighfar for them. They will indeed find Allah Azza wa Jalla the most forgiving.
Except
to repent. Because we came on to this, right? There was a waqia where this Arabia villager, he went to the shrine of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this was way after the demise. And there was grand mufassir of the Quran. He was sat there outside the golden gates. And this Arabi came and he read this ayat. He says that, I have heard Allah saying in the Quran that if I commit sin, I come to you, I do tawbah, and then you're going to do tawbah for me as well, and Allah's going to forgive me. So he read this ayat, and then this scholar was sat there just listening. And he read a shir. And these shirs is, because you raised the point, basically he says that, the best of those who has ever been buried, and because of your blessed body, the entire dust of Medina has become fragrant, beautiful, and is a heal for everything. Nafsil fida'u li qabrin anta sakinuhu fihi al-ifafu wa fihi al-judu wal-karam. My soul is sacrificed for the qabr that you are residing in. Fihi al-ifafu, in it is protection. And jud and karam. Jud is generosity. Karam is basically generosity as well. Actually, these shares, if you next time when you go, they're written on, besides the golden gates, there's two pillars. These ash'ar are actually written there. They're actually written there, because that same night, that scholar, the Prophet came into his dream and said to him that, go find that Arabi and tell him Allah has forgiven all his sins.
Allahu Akbar.
So then basically this scholar then mentioned it and he told everyone, it became famous. And now this shayr that I've read is actually written on besides the golden gates of the Prophet and the two golden pillars.
Yes. SubhanAllah. Next time I go, I'm going to look out for them, mashallah. But no, the point is that salvation is with the Prophets of Allah. Qawm Thamud, they knew Hazrat Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam was the Prophet of Allah, and he proved it with such a miracle. But it was more the desires of the world, wasn't it? So they were ignoring his rights. And today, aren't we doing the same thing? Don't we just, we know that what Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, what we need to do, what's right and what's wrong. And yet, it's our desires of the world, isn't it, that corrupts us?
I mean, when you look at the punishment that they received, Mufti Sahib, writes in the book that when Hazrat Salih alayhi salam and the companions, they went past there and they seen the state, the earthquake had destroyed everything, their bodies were obviously destroyed to an extent like an animal or a horse or some sort of animal that has stamped its hooves in that particular place to such an extent that, you know, everything is completely destroyed, the grass and everything that was in it. So this lush green place that, you know, they were happily, you know, enjoying their lives in, it was completely destroyed. So it wasn't just that the nation was destroyed, the whole area and what they were living on and they were surviving on and they were thinking this is the luxury life that we're living, everything was destroyed in that particular area. So there was nothing left in that particular area.
So they kill the she camel and they slaughter it.
It was Qadar bin Salih. What happened was he first, with the, you could say, the mashwara of random people, the other eight leaders.
They cut said, the hooves, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so first he actually struck the camel, which knocked him onto the knees and then cut the hooves, well, the shanks. Cut the shanks off. And then what they done after that, they completely slaughtered it, dissected it. And then, he took them, you know, the mashwara, the suggestion of them other individuals. But he performed the action. Okay. They all agreed to it. And the qawm just stayed silent. But all of them became punished.
That's an interesting point. That the leaders were committing sin and one person took the lead.
Yeah.
And everybody was watching and entertaining themselves. They weren't saying, well, this is the Prophet of Allah and this is the sign of Allah and this is the miracle. They said, yeah, fine. And usually when the punishment comes, they say, well, we weren't involved, you know what I mean? It's like the aiding and abetting, you know. You're there, you're doing everything, but you haven't struck the blow, so you're trying to get away. So afterwards, they try to distance themselves from it?
Yeah, so basically, you know, the ayat says, فَأَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ, that they all, أَقَرُوا is basically a plural form in Arabic. They all cut the veins of the lower portion of the legs. They all did, not just one person. Even though one person done it, Allah has included all of them in the equation. Because whether you are watching it, you are doing it, or you're just silently accepting it, that's silent approval. You know, even today, some person commits a sin, yeah, that's him, let him live his life. That's silent approval. In our heart, ذَلِكَ أَدْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, that in our heart, we should at least minimum believe that that is an evil act. Yeah. Whatever the sin is taking place. So one person done the act, but all of them were included inside this equation. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala punished all of them because some stayed quiet, some accepted it, some gave the suggestion, and one person performed it.
Now Hazrat Salih alayhi salam had warned them of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when they did this, what did he say? What was his reaction to this?
So he basically said that you got 3 days.
Yes.
You have 3 days.
Allah.
The first day your face will become yellow, then red, and then dark. Okay, so that you have 3 days and just prepare yourself. So on the first day their faces went yellow, and the second day the faces went red, the third day their faces went dark. On the third day they...
Just stopping you there, though. On the first day, they've asked for this miracle. The she camel's come out. They've been told not to touch it, and they've murdered it. And then Hazrat Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam says, "Look, you know, the punishment of Allah will come, and the signs are." But even at that stage, when their faces turned yellow and red, and they didn't repent though.
They didn't.
And they were still waiting.
They were waiting.
And they were talking amongst themselves.
They basically freshened up and they were sat waiting for the punishment. That's how arrogant they were.
Well, this is what Mufti Sahib writes, and that was the point I was trying to make, that, you know, even during the telltale signs that Hazrat Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam gave them, and this is sometimes what we do in our life, where, you know, there are certain punishments that are dished out in this world. So, for example, for backbiting and everything else. And we tend to know that Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam don't like this. We know that this is a grave sin. And yet we continue it, thinking, well, will the punishment come? Will the punishment come? Will it happen to me? We defraud people, thinking we'll get away with it. We harm people. We ignore their rights, thinking we'll get away with it.
I'm just going to move slightly away and say that, you know, one of the punishments is a person who's, unfair or, is bad towards their parents, that they'll be punished in this dunya.
Hmm?
And a lot of people that are in that state, that they're neglectful of their parents, they treat them horribly. And, you know, they see that, you know, the world is upside down. You know, they're seeing the punishment of Allah Ta'ala upon them, but they still don't change their ways. Hmm. And you mentioned, we see it in this time and in this age.
So you're saying basically these people, that their faces turned yellow, then it turned red, then they turned black. And even when their faces turned dark and black, I was surprised when I read this. Honestly, I had to read it again. I thought, is it really say khushbu? They would wear good clothes. They would put fragrance on and say, right, we're waiting for the punishment of Allah. I mean, it's astaghfirullah. How much deception? I mean, that is satanic deception. It is extreme, isn't it? That, you know, they've done this and they're still arrogant on it. So what happened?
Then there's that, when you're in that situation, there's no turning back, is there? You've gone too far beyond the point. You've gone beyond the threshold that, you know, there's a limit to certain things. And when you've reached a point where you're arrogant, and it's not even you're justifying it, you're sat there, like, you know, Iblis, he tried to justify why he didn't do the sajda. These people were like, come on then, bring it on. They were sat there with the perfume on, ready for it. That is like one level ahead. You know, Iblis, that who caused all this shirk and whatnot, he's put them into one step ahead where they're not even justifying what they're doing wrong, why they killed the Shi'kamer. They are sat there saying, all right, bring it.
I suppose I see your point, that if I've done something wrong and you question me about it, and I say, this is my explanation, and this is what I did, and this is why I did it, at least that's something.
You know,
Haruma, but if I stand there and say, well, I'm not bothered.
You're a barrister, right, in court. A person's murdered someone. He's murdered a person. In court, he has two options. Either he's there, he says sorry, he apologizes, he knows he's done wrong, he apologizes to parents, and he says to the judge, look, sentence me how much you want to sentence me. That's one. The other scenario is he walks into the court smiling, happy, he's got his arms out, he's smirking at everyone, doesn't pay attention to the barrister, to the judge. Two different scenarios. One, he is careless. And one, he at least, you know, says, look, I was in the wrong. He feels sorrow. These people are beyond that. They were like, bring it on. We know we've done wrong and we're not justifying it.
And I think they were that blind, though. In the court scenario that you mentioned, at least the defendant there knows. He's thinking, I'm going there for life, right?
Yeah.
So I know. So in this scenario, even to that stage, I get the feeling that they were doubting that the punishment of Allah would come.
So on the third day, three different punishments at once happened. There was an earthquake, there was a loud scream. Okay, when the word Swayha is mentioned in the Quran.
When I was reading it, the words that came to my mind was a catastrophic sound blast. It was just one of the, I wrote
be
down.
A sonic boom.
Sonic boom, yeah. So that something like, you know, a sound blast that completely wiped them out, and, you know, catastrophic seems to destroy everything in its path. Just before that, I just wanted to ponder upon one point, and, you know, I wanted the viewers of Mandi Channel to think about this as well, is that although the Qawm-e Thamud knew they'd done wrong and they were doing wrong, they stuck to their ways. You know, a lot of the time, a lot of people out there, they don't pray their salah, they don't do good, they're involved in evil and the wrong things. They know they're wrong, but they don't turn towards repentance. So how much similarity is that? I mean, you know that sooner or later the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, the grift of Allah Azza wa Jal, inna batsha rabbika lashadeed, the pukr of Allah Azza wa Jal is coming, and yet you ignore it. Aren't you like those people of Thamud who have, because it might be easy sitting there on Madni Channel and thinking, well, these people are really bad. But are we any different in reality? But all those people who don't pray their salah on time, are they any different? They know the truth. All those people who cheat, defraud, backbite, lie, are we any different? We've seen everything. You know, we're even more fortunate than the Qawm of Salih al-Islam, because we have the best of creation. We have the Prophet who everybody was talking about before and everybody will talk about till the Day of Judgment. And yet being from that Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah, and yet still we carry on our ways.
I mean, if you look at it from the example of a person looking at it that I'm young, I've got, all of my life. I'll do Hajj when I'm, when I'm 60 and I'm retired. Or, you know what, I'll stop praying my namaz when I'm a bit older. I'm currently just at an age where I need to just chill out, relax, and do the things, And in Madani Muzakira, Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat was asked that question about a person saying, when they invited for namaz, saying, I don't want to pray my namaz. Going down that route of, what are they saying? Would be, could constitute kufr. And Amir al-Sunnat, he says, well, his answer started off with that we pray the kalima, aren't we Muslims? That this is the sort of things that you hear, that because they pray the kalima, they were born, born as Muslims, they pray the kalima, automatically they think that after that, whatever we say out of our mouths, they don't have the knowledge to understand that could take him out the fold of Islam.
Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't need our salah. Yeah. If the entire creation of Allah, you're a learned scholar, there's 7.9 billion people on the surface of the earth. If all 7.9 billion right now fell down into prostration and said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, all 7.9 billion, would it make one iota worth of difference to the kibriyai and the grandeur of Allah Azza wa Jalla? It wouldn't. And if all 7.9 million refused to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, it would make not one iota worth of difference to the magnificence of Allah Azza wa Jal. So anybody's worship is for themselves.
For themselves. There's a brother, and I was giving him Neki Kitab, and I said to him, when are you going to start praying? And he says that, look, I'm going to buy a house, start a business, and then, inshallah, I'm free after that. And I said, okay, are you going to start praying in this month? He says, I don't think so. What about, this year? I don't think so. So I basically, like this, I kept going. I'm going the next 10 years. And I got to 10 years, right? And he said, inshallah, then, maybe within the next 10 years, I'll start praying. That brother passed away a few weeks later. He was young. He was literally a few years or within the same age group as myself. He did not live. And, I give him neki ki da'wat. He was a very good person, mashallah. But he passed away within 2 weeks' time or something. And that conversation, it just stuck in my head that, he had high hopes, I'm going to do this, and this. He didn't get to see another month.
Arumba, how much ibrat is that? There's a narration here in here as well, where the Prophet ﷺ and the companions, they're passing by the book. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says to his companions that, when we're passing through this area, and in this area where the Qawm Thamud,
punishments
of Allah Azza wa Jalla came, he says to them, go through it crying. Go through it in such a state that you're crying. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he then wraps his shawl around his blessed face and goes through that area.
Allahu Akbar.
And he says that it was in, the Khawfi Khuda situation, where he says that, let it not be that the punishment that because of them ends up coming on us.
The other thing was, the Prophet ﷺ didn't allow the Sahaba Ikram to even allow, their camels to drink from that particular place. And they even made, the dough for the roti using the water. In one narration, it says that the Prophet ﷺ said, throw it away. Don't even use the water from that area.
From the Qawm Thamud.
That brings two things, right? Mulana Mustafa Azmi writes that, number one, those that didn't let Imam Hassan and the Lashkar of 72 of Imam Hassan and Hussein drink from the river, what would be their punishment, number one?
Allah
and Allah. Those who gave shahadat to Imam Hussein You know, the same way this Naqa was slaughtered, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala punished them completely such that none of their lineage continued. That what would be the state of those people who had, you know, even harmed the family of, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Imam Hassan and whom, you know,
Allahu Akbar.
It gives us this lesson from this.
It is, once you're blind, aren't you? And there's levels of darkness and blindness, and the shaitan just takes you wherever he wants. Coming back to the punishments, we've only got about 5 minutes left on this now. But coming back to the punishments, there was an earthquake, there was this high sound, and there was zillatun ruswai is what the Quran says. Mufti Sahib calls the three ayah mubarakas. But what was that last one? Is there any kind of tafsir of that? They were basically, it was a degrading punishment where they were on their knees, but it gives no further description. So the earth shook, it turned it upside down, you know, so they've lost, everything's fallen. Then there's this loud sound blast. That's completely destroyed the insides of them. And, you know, like you heard a loud sound and your heart just goes, it's completely killed them. And then as well as that, they had a degrading punishment on top of that.
What I remember is that the aftermath was that it's mentioned in the description that if there's a piece of land and there was grass on there and that grass basically died and then people have walked on that grass and you basically got dry hay, straw left on that piece of land, their bodies disintegrated into this state that it was
Allah.
As if, so their bones and the full flesh body, the meat, turned into such a state where it's like they are walking through a place where animals used to live once upon a time. So their bodies completely disintegrated. And we've seen the exact same punishment for the Ashabul Fid, Ka'asfim Ma'kul, like eaten grass, like eaten straw, kasfim makul, like it was eaten straw. Their bodies on the elephants, they were just disintegrated into the ground.
So, is it right for us to know? Because we've been through different nations, and whenever the nations disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever they don't fulfill the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is punishment. Now, we know that from the ayah mubarakah, on this ummah, there is not going to be collective punishment like there was. And that's because of the blessings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But individually, those who disobey, you know, those who miss their salah,
so there
what
be,
ibrat do they
there
get?
There won't be asmani punishment.
Ah, right, okay. So
a zalzala, an earthquake or a tufan, a tsunami.
So asmani punishment from the skies.
From the sky.
So there won't be punishment descending from the skies, but you will get punishment from the earth.
Or Allah Azza wa Jalla will make a certain person give him the ability to punish a wider community. Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's happened in the past as well.
Well, you know, people like tyrants will come along
and they
will kill people. The one concept I just want to deal with at the end here is this. Whatever happened to Qawmi Thamud, the viewers of Madin Channel will be watching this and say, well, they deserved it, didn't they? Because Allah Azza wa Jal, they were the descendants of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam. They were a nation. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with a lot of things. And they then became so extravagant, so arrogant, so proud that they started to worship idols. They ignored the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal sent the beautiful Prophet Hazrat Salih alayhi salam to them. They ignored him. They called him a liar. They did everything else. Allah Azza wa Jal then, they asked for a strange, unique miracle. Allah Azza wa Jal gave them that. Even then they didn't. And the Prophet said, do not slaughter this animal. And they did that. And so the viewers of Madhya Channel, we sat there thinking, well, they deserve this punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal because they disobeyed him. Well, the obvious thing is, yeah, if we say they deserve the punishment, and yet at the same time, we are missing our salah, we don't read the Quran, we lie and cheat and backbite, don't we deserve the difficulties we have? And are we going to get away with it in this world? If I miss my salah, will I have a blissful life? If I defraud people, am I going to be financially stable? If I teach other people's children bad things, are my children going to be on the right path? Doesn't it come back though? I mean, the Quran mentions the Qawmi Thamud time and time again, mentions as the Salih Islam, and it mentions it for a reason, doesn't it? That they disobeyed, so they paid the ultimate price. Isn't that the lesson we've got to take away from this?
is basically in our time we see the same state where, like exactly what you've mentioned, is they did not listen to the Prophet, they got punished. And how much is it that we listen to our Prophet? But the mercy, Rahmatul Alameen, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah is Allah is not punishing us directly. Allah is not giving us that same punishment that these people had.
We do see earthquakes, and Amir al-Sunnah is written a booklet that is called Earthquakes and Their Causes, and it is a punishment. And you know, Amir al-Sunnah writes in that booklet, and it was at the time when there was an earthquake in Pakistan, Kashmir, and Amir al-Sunnah, you know, writes that waqia regarding a man who had so many daughters, and his wife was expecting another child, and he says to his wife, if it's another girl, then, you know, I'm gonna do this. So what happens is when the child is born, it's a baby girl, rather than taking it as a blessing, he takes that child, nauzubillah, puts it in a pressure cooker.
Astaghfirullah.
And the wife, this is her account, she says, I'm screaming, I'm saying to him, and all of a sudden there's a large bang, and the earth consumes my husband, and you know, nobody seen him again after that.
Allah
swallowed up into the earth. So these are true waqi'ats that are happening.
But we don't know.
That was
we don't
in 2005, though.
But let's look at the flip side of that coin. Because there's another side to this story, isn't there? With Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, there was Qawmi Thamud, the thousands of people who disobeyed Allah. But there were also the 4,000 who obeyed him, who obeyed Allah and his beloved messenger. What happened to them? They were in the same place. They were just told to go to the local jungle, weren't they?
Yeah.
And so the earthquake didn't affect them. The shriek, this sound, this sound blast, catastrophic, did not affect them. They weren't disgraced. In fact, they were honored. They were honored throughout their lives. So obeying Allah, the story, the moral of this story is that if you disobey Allah and His Habib and you, His Prophet, you are in, you know, despair, you are punished, you are tormented, tortured, you will die a painful death. But if you follow them, you could be in the same place, you could be in the same household as somebody who disobeys, and Allah will bless you, but punish them.
I mean, it's a lesson about company as well. They had the sohbet, the company of the Prophet of Allah Almighty.
And they were humble to accept His company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, there's one other way to look at this. So you've got a wider population with nine leaders who had all their communities. So they were like the main leaders, okay? And then now you have a Nabi who's saying, no, don't worship the idols. You know, but basically a Nabi, he differentiates between halal and haram, which would stop a lot of the things that they are doing being arrogant, so on and so forth. So now they are living this lavish lifestyle, and they have publicity, they have population, they have mind control, they have whatever. Basically, we see exactly the same structure today. And then you have a minority with Hazrat Salih alayhi salam who are saying, look, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And they are mocking the people who are right. Yeah? They are mocking the people who are right. But then, Ja al-Haqq wa Zahaq al-Batil, that the truth actually came, and the batil, the wrongfulness, that was removed.
And you get that today as well?
Exactly today. So you have a small community that knows what's right and wrong and tells people to do right and stop doing wrong. And then you have this wider population influenced by various different
social media, various today's different today's world. Yeah.
And when this, for example, Imam, Khatib, scholar, Muballigh says, okay, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. It's like, you know, he mocks him. He says,
Astaghfirullah.
Our father's done this.
It's the same thing. Exactly, our forefathers.
Just when we tell them, look, this, the way you're reading this is incorrect. You need to read it like this. Yo, my father done this. My mom, we've seen this for the past 10, 15 years. You've just come now. Who are you? We see the exact same system now.
I was going to mention that. Look at the muazzin in the masjid. 5 times a day, he's saying, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. You know, come to salah, come to success. But, you know, when we go to the masajids, when we look at the state today, unfortunately, you know, look at our communities, you know, the shopping malls, the restaurants, all these places will be jam-packed.
But it's the story with everybody is crying. You know, that is a year on Sabir or Enke. You know, within our mosque, we built our mosques in the center of our communities. There are 150 households directly around the mosque. I'm not talking, you know, quarter of a mile. I'm talking directly around the mosque. And in those 150 households, there might be 1,000 people. And yet in Fajr, there's Imam Sahib and two namazi. I mean, it just beggars belief. I just wanted to kind of recap, though. Shiraz Bey, we started off this journey from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And we've got to Hazrat Salih alayhi salam. Now, after Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, this silsila of messengers, this Allah Ta'ala's blessings of sending the magnificent messengers, takes a kind of a turn, because we kind of enter a new era, don't we? We enter a new era in the universe where Allah sends somebody truly special, truly amazing, and then all the mainstream religions that we have. So we've reached a kind of in the creation of the universe from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, we've worked all the way through, and now we're getting to that center point, that pivot, where after this amazing and magnificent messenger blesses the earth, everything changes.
So basically, Rumbai, up until Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, there is possible that there have been other Anbiya alayhi salam spread around the world, okay, in different continents, different areas, giving tabligh to different regions of the world. So now, this Allah has given us certain incidents that took place in the past that are relevant to us.
Mm.
Ones that were not relevant to our society, Allah has not given us that directly.
Mm.
Some of them have been mentioned in the hadith, etc. So now, time has been going on since Adam alayhi salam, and the world has been developing in different ways. People's minds have been changed. You know how the custom changes.
Okay? Like traditions.
20 custom. Years ago, you would wear a certain type of garment. 20 years later, wearing that same type of garment.
We're talking about hundreds and thousands of years here.
Yeah, this is many hundreds and thousands of years. So now, after Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, after that, it is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam.
SubhanAllah.
What it is an entire different era, a different custom, a different time frame. Different types of people, their mindset is different. Now they are going beyond being just strong, beyond being resourceful. They are getting into magic.
Next
they are getting into sorcery. They are basically, they forget worshipping idols. They are saying, I am God.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah. So Shaitan has tricked them.
Tricked them to such an
time,
extent.
Yeah, so whilst Hud alayhi salam is dealing with this nation, Shaitan's in the other side of the continent, dealing with another nation, making them do wrong. And this is all basically...
That's a very fascinating point, because up until now, all the prophets we've studied, the Shaitan had introduced idols and everything else. Now, from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, what I was going to say was, they're not the mainstream religions all flow from them, and they all believe in Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we've got a focal point there. But you've made an amazing point there, that it's so true that now the world has changed, actually. At the advent of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the thought processes had changed. They weren't worshipping idols now, individuals. So you've got Namrud, you've got Fir'aun, you know, all these people who are now claiming to be actually God themselves, na'udzubillah. And that's amazing. We're going to have to leave it there, but we've got then this amazing silsila from Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then the Bani Israel and everybody else that flows. And basically, from those ladies, then we've got the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well. And we're going to have to leave it there. So next week starts this amazing journey to look at the life of one of the most magnificent personalities and the most amazing messenger ever to bless this earth. I mean, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam so much and mentioned them so much. And all mainstream religions mention them as well. And I've had the honor and the privilege of going to their shrine, Mubarak, as well. And I was with our beloved Hafiz al-Faqih Sahib, who's also a presenter in Madni Channel. And I'll tell you what, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, by the blessings of the Nalani Park of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've had the honor and the privilege of visiting a lot of Mazari Parks, Walis of Allah Azawajal, Sahaba Ikram, everything else. The feeling, as soon as we walked in, the feeling we got was just amazing. It was comparable to, and there's nothing in the world that can be compared to the feeling that you get in front of the Jalia Mubarak in Madinatul Munawwarah, yeah? But it was comparable, yeah, to that sort of feeling. And you know, I looked at Hafiz Saab looked at me, and there was other brothers as well, and we said, this is an amazing place. And that was the beautiful, we were in the, you know, at the feet of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. What a magnificent messenger. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. Viewers of Madni Channel, we've got to leave it there. But keep watching YOLO and Madni Channel, because we're going to talk about one of the most magnificent messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, whose life was so amazing that a lot of the things we do are directly related back to him. I mean, Hajj is all evolves around Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. A lot of the sunnahs, a lot of the ways that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Zamzam
water. There's so much that we are so indebted, and there's so much to learn from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inshallah, we'll start that journey next week. Keep watching Madni Channel, and we're going to move on to our next segment, Real Talk. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
I look at a person, don't like him. He's such and such, he's like this, she's like this, he's like this. Don't like him, don't like the way he walks, don't like the way he talks, don't like this. Hatred. It's all full of it. But then when I sit down and think, why don't I like him? Can't figure it out. What's going on, Shirazbi? Bisharadbi? Well, why is it that these days, you know, in the olden days, people used to like 99% of the world, and the bad, the sinners, they used to hate. And even then the scholars said, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. These days, we're so opinionated, we hate everybody. Well, what's going on? Where is this hatred coming from? What's happening?
It's Harun Bhai, straightforward. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, you know, when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Allah commanded the angels to prostrate. Now he is Adam, right? He's the first, he's the father of human, okay? And all the angels prostrate. Iblis said no. He wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused. So then later on, different things happen. Shaitan, Iblis, he, you know, sent a waswasa. They ate from the tree, okay? And because of this, this became the sabab of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam to descend into the earth and bless the earth, basically. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, descend, and some of you will remain enemies for some. So this verse of the Quran, very significant, that there will always be a community that will always, and this incident occurred, or this the reason, or the DNA of hatred is because Iblis did not do sajda in front of Adam alayhi salam. And in the DNA of all hatred, the DNA of all hatred is because of Iblis not performing that, you know, fulfilling the amr, the command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Allah says that now, up until the day of judgment, there will be communities that will always be against another community. That, and the DNA of all hatred is this, because Iblis didn't do that act. So now, in the dunya, there will be humans that do not like the next person, that are jealous, they're competing, they, you know, he might have said something. And now this stays in his head, in his heart, for a long period of time. This is the, I hope this is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, well, you see, my problem is this. Before Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world, there was hatred, enmity, everybody was greedy, everybody was jealous, everybody was envious, everybody wanted to belittle the other person. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blesses us, blesses the world, gives the world guidance. A lot of the stuff we see in Western society has been taken from the Quran and Hadith as well, because these guys were in the doldrums, and it took them hundreds of years to get rid of their bad habits, only 100, 150 years ago, if you look at their history. Now, my question is this though, for 1400 years, or 1420 years, Islam has been shining its nur, its light, and cleaning hearts and giving love and compassion. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the world by the love and compassion Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, by the getting rid of jealousy and hatred and enmity and diseases of the heart. But now, 1460 years later, why is it that every individual is so opinionated? Why is it that every one of us has something to say about something else? I'm analyzing you, I'm analyzing Bisharat Bhai, but I'm not analyzing my own hearts and my thoughts and processes. I've got opinions to say about you, I've got bad things to say about him, and nobody in the world is right. Apart from me, you know, life, the world evolves around me, I'm the center of the universe.
I mean, Harun Bhai, if we look at it from a family structure, I've got something here where Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he talks about evil, and he says things like evil assumptions, having hatred, etc. These are all acts which diminish love. So for example, in a household, you're living in a household, there's two brothers. It requires love for them two brothers to be able to live together. If that love doesn't exist for whatever reason, and you know, a lot of the time it's things like jealousy. Why has he got more than me? You know, why has he got this and I haven't got this? Why is he living this sort of a life and I'm not living this sort of a life? And shaitan is picking away at that person. But the other person should think to themselves that this is the wisdom of Allah Almighty. You know, Allah Almighty has given him this, and inshallah, through patience and perseverance, there'll be something better waiting for me. But it's that patience and perseverance. We want everything which is quick. So, for example, social media is at the fingertips today. You know, these so-called fake lives that people portray on social media. Which cause jealousy. And they cause all sorts of issues within households, within families. And it's that living that false life and then thinking that, wait a minute, you know, I should have this. I should be privileged to this. But at the end of the day, if somebody is working hard through their rizq-e halal, has earned something, and you're not privileged to it, then we should accept it and say, okay, but the jealousy concept comes in where I want to deprive that person from what they already have.
Because the definition that Amir al-Sunnah Dhamma Barakatum al-Aliya writes, it's not saying, well, Shiraz Bhai has got something, I wish I had the same. It's about saying, why has Shiraz got it? I wish he didn't have it, and I want the same thing. That's the jealousy. The definition is meaning desiring the loss of the blessings of the person who you're jealous against, and desiring the same blessings for yourself. Now, is this the one of the main root causes for enmity?
The desiring of someone losing.
Destruction. Somebody losing. Jealousy. Mm-hmm. Is jealousy one of the causes why I'm so opinionated? Why I you know, because it's, does it? Am I conscious of the fact that I'm jealous of you?
Whoever recognizes himself, he'll recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the problem. We analyze everyone, we forget ourselves.
There's like a famous couple in a Bulle Shah Asmani, Uddiyan Padaya Jira Kar, Bethan Upadaya. You know, we see Peer Sahib, and we try to analyze Peer Sahib, and we try to analyze everybody who walks down the street, but we don't know what's in here and all the gandagi that's in here. So I'll have hatred and enmity and jealousy. And what the scholars actually write is very interesting, subtle point. What they say is that actually you might not even know you're jealous. Because what the shaitan does is introduces it very subtly. So the shaitan will introduce it very subtly, and you'll not like a person. And you might, so the next time, you know, it might be that there's something about Bisharat Bhai, so I might not like it, because he's better than me, which he is. Of course, and you know, and so next time you mention his name, I'll start backbiting him. I'll go to slandering. I'll make things up, because how dare you like him? I don't like him, so you shouldn't like him. Why are you saying good things about him? So but you don't know, Yar. You don't know. I know what he's really like, and there you go. And if I'd analyze my thoughts, I would have said to him, Yar, why am I hating him? Where's the enmity come from? But the problem is what you said. We don't look in ourselves. And so everybody around us, we've got to have an opinion on, apart from ourselves.
We've got to label them.
And isn't that destroying our life? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, jealousy consumes good deeds as fire consumes wood. Now, we're giving away our deeds. But I want to come back to the beautiful point that Bisharat Bhai made. Loving, you know, in Islamic community, everybody wishes for this beautiful Islamic community, this brotherhood. That comes from love. And the grassroots level is what you mentioned, our households. Now, in our households, we're not willing to look at other people's views. And we're so opinionated. I mean, what do we do? How do we get rid of this thought process, Shirazbi? And how do we bring love and caring back into us? I mean, we don't even smile at our brothers, yeah? You know, what is our life getting to where every time we see somebody, the only negative thoughts going to my mind? You might have 101 good qualities, but why do I have to, every time I see you, think about the bad quality?
It's, you know, I give this example a few episodes ago where there's an artist, he's made a picture, and the teacher said to him, okay, go put this in the market and put a sign next to it. Whoever finds a fault, please put a mark there, red mark.
Hmm?
And at the end of the day, the full picture was full of red marks. There was no place to see the picture. He's gone back to the teacher and said, look, this picture, put it on like you said, and, you know, everyone's put a red mark everywhere. Okay, then the teacher said, okay, now go back and write, please correct them. Wherever there's a mistake, correct it. No one put a red mark. See, this is the problem. We can pinpoint everyone's mistake, we cannot correct it. And the reason for that is because we have all them inconsistencies in ourselves as well. You know, we in our heart, we have them diseases as well. We see them in someone else. You know, a Muslim is a reflection of a Muslim.
Allah, Allah.
The Muslim is the reflection of a Muslim. If our heart is clean, right? I'm a Muslim. My heart is clean. My reflection, who's another Muslim, he's clean as well. If my heart is dirty, automatically everything will look dirty. Everything will look unclean. Our heart needs to be clean. That's when the society around us, we will see the positives only, not the negatives. This is the thing, we only pick out negatives. You know, the Allah Hazrat, he says two things. Number one, he says that, Alhamdulillah, I've never felt jealousy. I've never felt jealousy. Mm-hmm. And he explains that whenever there's a scholar, I'd kiss his feet. Whenever there's a peace of, I'd kiss his feet. A student, he's my student. I should, you know, there's nothing to feel jealous about. Maldar, I don't want the dunya. I'm happy with the love of the Prophet. So he never felt jealous. You know, when someone, you know, said bad things about Allah Hazrat, and his murid said, look, they're saying bad things. He said, okay, the guys that praised me, go and give them gifts first. You know, he this point that I said, that go on, you know, find people's perfections, Allah Hazrat alluded towards this. He said, don't look at negatives, look at positives. So, you know, when our mind flips and we only think of the good things in a human, this is what we don't do. When we say, okay, this brother, you know, he is very hardworking. This brother, I seen him, he helped a lady cross the road. This person, I seen him do X, Y, and Z. We only see the positives. That's because the reflection from our heart is positive as well.
I mean, I'm currently traveling on a Madani kafila, and this brother's there, and they, you know, they travel for the first time, and they're asking these sort of questions. That when we meet the brothers of Dawat Islami, they have these sort of characteristics, and how do they get that? And a simple answer is Nek Amal.
Subhanallah.
You know, brother that does the Fikri Madina, he fills out that Nek Amal card, he questions himself on a day-to-day basis, and Alhamdulillah, who's given us that? Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah. He's given us that tool to say, you know what, this is the Madani aim, this is your mission, which is I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the entire world. But how am I going to rectify myself? I'm going to do Fikri Madina. I'm going to fill out this Nek Amal card. I'm going to ask myself these questions. How am I going to, you know, I need to rectify myself. These are the points about myself. These are the negative actions about myself.
But the difficulty with that, Sharad Bhai, is this. I live in a society where if I do something wrong, so what? Everybody's doing wrong. There's no concept of self-accountability, is there? And is, that causes a problem. I mean, it's that love. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bukhari Sharif. Do not be jealous of one another. Do not bear malice and hatred towards one another. Do not speak ill of one another behind each other's backs. Oh, slaves of Allah azza wa jal, live as brothers. A lot of the anxieties, depression, the grief we have is generated from the hatred and malice we have in our hearts. Yeah, we seem to hate everybody. You know, sometimes you sit there and you think, yeah, you know, this person, he doesn't like his family, he doesn't like his brother, he doesn't like his sister, he even talks bad about his parents, his teachers. I mean, yeah, either he's had a very miserable life where everybody in his life is wrong, or there's something wrong with his mind. And usually 99.9% of the time it's the latter. His mind, the shaitan, has corrupted. I mean, it's like, you know, if I took you to a beautiful garden full of lots of flowers, yeah? And on one side, there was a burnt bush. And you sat down and started to cry about the burnt bush. This is what these people are doing, aren't they? They're ignoring the beautiful garden, the orchard. And they say, why is there a burnt bush there? And, you know,
I mean, it's the same about life as well, isn't it? So the concept of, or, you know, I'm facing bad luck. I'm getting bad luck. You know, this isn't working out for me. This isn't working out for me. But not looking at the positives, that alhamdulillah, I'm still living. I'm still breathing. Allah Ta'ala is still giving me rizq. I'm still eating. I've still got enough sustenance to keep me going. But, you know, why are we turning towards this concept of not having that trust in Allah Almighty?
But it's interesting you say that, because when it comes to the things I'm missing, I've got a list of them. When it comes to the faults of others, I've got a list of them. Mm-hmm. When it comes to what I want from Allah, I've got a list of them. But I've never got a list of, firstly, all the blessings that Allah has given me, and secondly, all the faults that I have. And you know, one of the things is, I mean, Mufti Ahmad Yarhan alayhi rahmatu rahman says that one of the root causes of our difficulties in society is evil assumptions. Mm-hmm. Evil assumptions, envy, and malice. So, if, you know, Bashar Bhai is doing something, I'll think, oh, well, he's doing it because of this, and that. He's got evil intentions. If he's doing this, you know, some brothers do madni work, and you got other brothers saying, oh, he's a narcoman, yeah? Or he's making a bit of money. And you think, why? Why couldn't you do the opposite of that? Why can't you train your mind to say, look at him, mashallah, I wish I could do that, yeah? You know, he spends day and night doing madni work. Yaar, I wish I could do that. You know, he's a scholar of the deen, yaar. My dream, yaar. Kaash, I could have done the Jamia course. Oh, how lucky is he, yaar. And mashallah, he's now implementing it as well. I wish I could do the work of deen he's doing. No, but I turn it around. He went to Bradford Jamia. What is he going to have learnt? He probably learnt nothing, yeah? And he's gone back to Rochdale. Like, Chase Al-Zayagata Gyati, no? The reason we chose this topic was for the viewers of Madni Channel, what we wanted to say was we need to get out of this negativity. Our life evolves around evil, malice, bad, faults in others, yeah? Whereas the way of Islam, the way that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us was love, smile. I mean, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went so far as to say, smiling is sadaqah, is giving charity. You know, smile. And if I smile, I was just noticing then, yeah? In the initial phase, I kept a serious face. For the last 5 minutes, I've been smiling, and both of you got a smile on your faces. Yeah. And it was kind of a conscious thing. I thought, right, I've done the hard bit, I'll smile. It's so contagious.
It's contagious.
You know, the viewers of Madhi Channel, we think, sat there, and they'll be smiling as well now. Your home could develop into a garden of paradise by, you know, smiling, by being nice to others, by loving, by forgiving other people, yeah? You know, people have done heinous crimes and people have forgiven them, and yet we're not prepared to forgive your own brother for just, you know, missing out something. Right. You know, your brother forgot to give you a lift or something, or said, I haven't got time today. He was in a bad mood. He said something wrong. Well, yeah, can we not forgive him? Are we going to hold the grudge for the rest of our life?
I mean, holding, you know, we mentioned a lot of things about materialistic things, but ultimately all of these things can eventually start affecting your faith, your iman. You know, all these inner diseases eventually will start impacting you, where you'll start turning away from your ibadat, from your worship, from your good actions, etc. And you'll start turning towards bad things, sins, committing sins, and then going down that slope where, you know, we've heard through the previous nations, in our YOLO episodes, that they've started committing sins and shaitan's got them trapped.
This is the trap of the shaitan, though, isn't it? Because once he's got you down this road of sin, look, if you are reading your five times namaz, you're being nice to everybody, your life is blissful, you will have passion for ibadat. But if you're thinking bad of everybody, you're doing ghibat and missing salah and doing everything else, shaitan's got you, he can make you do anything he wants. So he will take you away. So somebody capable as Basharat Bhai, yeah, mashallah, you know, does a lot of work, yeah? Say, for example, the shaitan takes him down this slippery slope. In 6 months' time, he's hating everybody, he's not doing any work, he thinks he's it, yeah, and suddenly everything goes downhill. Shaitan's winning. And we've got to wake up and kind of smell the coffee. Now, I want you to explain one thing, sorry, before you make the point you were going to say. What's the difference? If you're doing something, you've got a nice car, you've got a nice house, so you're a scholar, yeah? And I feel, ya Allah, you know, I wish I could do the same. I wish I had it, you know. Is there anything wrong with that?
So having So basically jealousy, having jealousy over a good act. Yani, you desire that, look, this person reads 5 times a day, salah. I wish I could do that.
That's a very good point. Why do we get jealous about good stuff? that's a brilliant point though. You know, good Nikki Kare, why do we get jealous on that, you know?
It is always that person's got a beamer.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, if this person reads 5 times in the Mazira, I wish I was like that. But no, what, you know, the point is, I'm going to come to this right at the end, is that we only take out the imperfections. Look at his perfections. The things he has perfected.
Positive.
The positives, yeah. So now he reads Salah, be jealous over that thing.
Yeah.
He fasts 30, 29 in Ramadan. You know, he reads all his Taraweeh, he reads Quran every, you know, he finishes one Quran a month. You know, be jealous about that. Don't be jealous about, you know, the car he's got, or the clothes he's wearing, or, you know, the house that he's living in. Be jealous of the good things he's got. And you focus on yourself. And you know, I'll tell you something. I'm going to come to this ayat later. Do you know, when you see someone, you know, a person messaged me, he says, brother, I do not have anything, right? I'm stuck. I need some help. He was in another country, right? And I was actually shocked because he's got a phone to message me, right? And I'm like, do shukr for what you do have. If you, you know, do shukr of what you do have, Allah will increase it. So now this person, he's 100% got some sort of phone device to message me.
Oh, it's a common message I've received as well.
And, you know, so I said to him, you know, just do shukr, Allah will increase whatever you have. So look for perfections and do shukr of what you do have before that is taken away from yourself. Do shukr of what you do have. Wala in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful, Allah will increase
you,
it. Allah will give you more.
So
do shukr of what you do have, and you know, focus on what's on in your plate. Don't look at the next person's plate. You focus on what's in front of you.
You were going to mention the ayat
is beautiful. Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's how the ayat starts. Allah, Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This bit is the amazing bit. So the Sahabi, the companions, when it comes to the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are very shadid, they are severe, they are very, you know,
steadfast. And stern.
Istiqamah, yes, they're very stern, they're firm upon their belief. Ruhama'u bainahum.
Allah.
This is the beautiful. They are so kind between
and gentle
themselves.
Amongst gentle. Themselves.
When what they're outside, they are lions, they are tigers. People, you know, the shaitan would run away from Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. There was an earthquake in Madinatul Munawwarah. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, he hit the ground with his asa, with his stick. And he said, uskut. That's what he said. Uskut biiznillah, that stop by the will of Allah. That there's never been an earthquake in Medina since.
Allah.
You know, this is how severe, firm, and you know, their way was, their character was when they were outside. Between themselves, amongst themselves, they were humble, they were respectful, they would pray together. You would see atharu sujood, you would see the effect of sajda upon them. They were very honorable. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They would seek fadl, not from him, they would seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they did want something, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he gave it him as well, he'll give it me. I have to ask. So don't go looking in next man's plate, look in your own plate, focus on your own heart, recognize yourself, look for perfections, don't look for imperfections.
You know, in the olden days, what they used to do is, you know, the bazurg, when you said to them, okay, you know, how are you? And they used to, from the heart, they used to say, Allah na shukr. They had
Allah
nothing.
Shukr.
They said, Allah na shukr. We thank Allah azza wa jal. And today, if you say something, kya Allah, they give you a list of bimari.
You know the ayat, wala in shakartum la azidannakum. You know, my grandfather is about 106 years old. Right? He's still alive now, right? And you know, there was a certain point last year where we thought that he's going to expire. Like 106, 107 years old. And we actually thought, okay, so like my parents went to Pakistan. It was very, you know, a sad moment. Achha, when we FaceTime on the phone, right? And I was, and he was like, Allah ka shukr. You know, whilst he was in that severe moment, Allah ka shukr. Allah ka shukr. And you know what? Wala in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful, I shall increase you. He's still alive now. He still stands up and reads namaz. But his age is just amazing.
Allah.
Nearly 109 years old.
Subhanallah.
And you know, so the ones who do shukr, you will see the person who does shukr, He does have more.
The more you thank Allah,
his heart is content as well.
This is a secret to the blessings of life. Because the more you thank Allah, look, it's a very simple logical theory as well.
Basically, we've gone through, you know what you're saying is in Surah Kahf, okay? The heaven of Shaddad. It starts off, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. It starts off with Alhamd, okay? Doing shukr, okay? There's a few things. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, mashallah. Mentioned in that surah. Shaddad was very arrogant. Mm-hmm. He made the jannat on the earth.
We went through it a few weeks ago.
He didn't do shukr. He didn't. He wasn't grateful. He didn't say, mashallah, that is by Allah's will. Right? He just done it. Right? And Allah would have destroyed that before he even got there. Right? There's another story where the individual didn't say, inshallah. And it didn't occur the way what he intended, it didn't occur. So these are secrets. You say, inshallah.
Secret code words.
These are secrets. And Allah has given us these secrets. You say, inshallah, that thing that you have said it over, Allah has, I shouldn't say the word, there's a spell over that now. It will happen if you say, inshallah. You say, mashallah, it will last. It will last because it's from the Allah. You have put it to Allah.
The ayats of the Quran Kareem, obviously, are amazing, and whatever they say is bila shak haq. Let's look at it logically. Logically, if you are not thanking Allah and Allah is still blessing you, then if you thank Allah, He's bound to give you more, isn't He? It's just simple logic, isn't it? So if you're blessed with the ni'mat, yeah, and you sit down, and the way to thank Allah, a lot of people say, Ya Allah, tera shukr hai, but namaz miss karo, TV taku, yeah. But a lot of people say, Ya Allah, tera shukr hai, go and do wuzu and read namaz. If you thank Allah the proper way, Allah is only going to increase your blessings, isn't it? Viewers of Madni channel, you know, in the olden days, when our berserk, our pious predecessors, and our elders, when they saw somebody who had lots of bad qualities, they used to see through it all and say, Banda changa hai. Galti yogi hai. Galtiyan karta hai. Lekin banda changa. He's a good person, you know. He's done this and he's done that. I've seen him at the masjid, I've seen him here. So he's okay. He's a good person. And they used to ignore all his bad qualities.
They'd look for perfection.
And they'd look for the good qualities. And so they lived a very peaceful and blissful life because they had good views of everybody around them, from children to family to friends. Today, somebody's got 99 good qualities. They've got the one bad. And for the last 6 years, we've made that tree grow in our heart that 6 years ago, I saw somebody, you know, Shiraz Bhai or Basharat Bhai or somebody else being rude to somebody or fighting with somebody. He's a bad person. I've not looked at the fact that what the situation, I don't even know the situation, I don't even know. Maybe if I've made a mistake, I've repented 1,000 times, I've read 1,000 nafil, I don't know that. But I'm still going to hold the others in bad esteem. We need to get beyond that. Unless we let go and we start to love those around us and we start to form good views of people, you will not be able to fulfill your potential in life. Get rid of hatred, get rid of enmity, get rid of this malice, get rid of everything. Just love and mercy. That was the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the world how to forgive, taught the world how to be merciful, and taught the world how to love those around us. Let's do that and we will truly enjoy life. Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now what the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam likes, what Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam dislikes, what pleases the best of creation, what Allah azza wa jalla and his Habib recommend for us, all of these things, some of us don't really care about that much. We care about our desires. But let me take you to some magnificent people who, my Pir Murshid says, Har Sahabi ye Nabi, Jannati Jannati. There's no doubt about it. Every one of them is a shining star. And every one of them would sacrifice everything they had at the feet of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that was sat in the beautiful court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A and a person comes in and he's wearing a gold ring. The gold wasn't permissible for men. Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed the ring and threw it away. And then said, does anybody amongst you want to keep a red hot coal of fire in his hand? After this, Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this and leaves. Very, very simple. You know, gold wasn't allowed for men. It was a gold ring. Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes it off, throws it away. When Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left, the people around, the companions, they said to the person, pick up the ring, take it, go and, you know, get it melted, make something for your wife, do something, sell it. And you know what the companion said? He said, by Allah, no. My beloved Habib has thrown that ring away. I'm never going to ever touch it again. How can I touch something that my beloved has thrown away? I will never pick that up. Look at the love that the companions had for Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no harm in that. You know, he could have picked the ring up and gone and sold it. He could have given it to his wife. He could have done other things. But he said, no, I can't bring myself to pick up something that my Habib has thrown away. Because, you know, it's just that amazing level of love. What is our level of love though? That is the question. When it comes to salah time, we can't get out of bed. Is that our love? When it comes to zuhr time, we're too busy at work earning money. Is that our love? Asr with the family, maghrib with the boys, isha too tired. Is that our love? These were amazing people. But all these hadith and mubarakah were narrated and passed to us so that we could learn from them. What lesson are we learning? What are we doing in the love of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's easy to say, غُلَامِ يَا رَسُولِ مَنْ مَوْتُ بِكَبُولِ هَا. Okay, I'll give my life for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then with the same breath, we ignore namaz. We haven't got time for the Quran. We haven't got time for the sunnahs of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't do that. If you truly love Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then work hard. Protect your salah. Read the Quran every day. Alhamdulillah, you can download it for free. Go to dawatislami.net. Download Kanzul Iman. You've got the English version. You've got Siratul Jinan fi Tafsir al-Quran, a beautiful commentary of the Quran. You've got hundreds of books, absolutely free. You can go on down, download them onto your phone, onto your tablet, onto your computer. Then attend the Thursday's tamaz, watch the Madni Muzakras, and travel in the Madni Kafras of Dawat Islami. All these, what they'll give you. You know, it's not like Dawat Islami earns money from this. No, what it will instill in your heart is the love of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But with that love, the passion to please Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal give us one iota of the love of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the blessed companions had. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Lameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.